5 or 6 hours a day. All right, 5 or 6 hours a day. It's not how long you guys go to school. It's on average, through our very limited research, but still research, it's on average about how much time you guys spend doing things that you have to do after school. All right, so your practices, your lessons, maybe it's tutoring, and I know you guys love homework, so you spend a lot of time on homework as well, right? Regent, love homework? Anybody? Okay, a couple of us, that's good. I'm proud of you guys, good work. Are you telling the truth, you really love homework? I like that, that's good, all right? Yeah, you too. So here's the deal, that's 5 to 6 hours a day outside of your already like very, very tough requirements for school. You guys spend a lot of time on that stuff, right? It eats up your day, it eats up your time, it eats up your mental workload, right? Sometimes it takes an emotional toll on you, the different things that you guys are required to do each and every day. So we sent out a few text messages this week, like I said, just to do a little research. So here's some real life examples from some of you guys about what you guys are doing throughout the week. Francis talked to Gracie Michael. Gracie's a senior, and so we asked her like about her homework and her work. And she said this, it's maybe 1 hour a day at the most. And then she texted hashtag senior year baby with a little hands raised kind of praising the Lord symbol there. So, but outside of that, she's got 5 hours of swim and 16 hours of stand leader stuff that she does every single week that's tacked into what's going on. And I asked her to finish this sentence. We said, school makes you feel blank. And this is what she said. School makes me feel exhausted. All right, that was her word, exhausted. Natalie Reedus, another senior, her answer was a little bit different homework-wise than Gracie's. I think she's in different classes this year, maybe, with AP stuff. Natalie has 15 hours of homework a week, plus all of the stand leader stuff as well. And she finished the sentence like this. School makes me feel tired. Okay, Caroline Barnett, a freshman, she's homeschooled and she says that she still has 30 minutes to an hour of homework a day. And then once swim team starts, she's got 4 to 5 hours of swim stuff that she works on each and every day. And she said, school makes me feel stressed. Stressed. And then last person, we had to get a guy in there too. So we talked to Nate Edmonds. Nate has about 30 minutes of homework a day, he says, plus 3 hours at least of practice every single day. And he finished the sentence like this. School makes me feel exhausted. So we have stressed, exhausted, tired, and exhausted were the ways that these students answered how they feel about school, how they feel this time of year. And I know that they are not alone, that it's a sentiment that's shared by a lot of us because you guys, simply put, are overloaded. You guys have so much stuff that's on you every single day and every single week. You've got so many requirements, so many deadlines, so many things that you have to do each and every day and each and every week. And here's a little secret for you. A lot of your parents feel the exact same way, right? A lot of your parents are in the same boat that you are. They've got so much to do. A lot of it's your stuff, right? But they've got so much to do with you guys and then their jobs and different things that are going on in their lives as well. And so people just in general are stressed out and overloaded. And I saw an article this week. There's, you know, people like to go on vacation and they like to go to Disney World and that kind of stuff. There's an industry, like people are building these hotels in the U.S. now where you pay a lot of money to go to the hotel. And when you're there at the hotel, you know what they do? They teach you how to relax, right? They teach you how to relax. They teach you how to shift your mind to different things and to focus. But generally, these hotels and these retreats are built so you can give them money to learn how to relax, to learn how to take a break, to learn how to take it easy, to learn how to regain control of your life and eliminate a lot of the stress that's going on, all right? I think that we'd all agree. All right, after a season of being stressed out, one of the greatest feelings in the world is to just relax, right? Like, think about last day of school, right? You're walking out, you know there's no more homework for a while, you know there's no more studying for a while, you know there's no more school, no more practice, whatever. You just have a chance to break and to relax. Here's the problem, all right? And it's a big problem. And if we could do something about this, I would do something about this, but I can't. Unfortunately, summer is temporary, all right? It's temporary. Okay? And at a certain age in your life, you don't get summer anymore. That's gone, right? So summer's temporary. The things that a lot of us might turn to help us relax, the things that a lot of us might turn to help us unwind, you know, unfortunately, are temporary. They work for a season, right? They relieve the stress for a little while. They help us to feel better, or they energize us for a little while. And unfortunately, at some point in time, that runs out, and that stress and those things begin building back on us again. But here's the good news, all right? We've got an invitation. You have an invitation. No matter how stressed out you are right now, no matter how many things you have to do right now, no matter what is going on in your life right now, you have an invitation, not from me, you have an invitation from Jesus in his word to come to him and to get rest, right? You have an opportunity to turn to Jesus and to get rest, to turn to Jesus and let your mind shift away from the stress, away from burdens, away from worries, into a relationship with him, okay? We're gonna look at that this morning. So if you got a Bible, look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, and we're gonna read three verses together. And here's the goal this morning. The goal in these three verses is for us to see and for us to understand that we don't have to live the way that we're living, that we don't have to feel the way that we're feeling. When somebody asks you how you're doing, you don't have to say tired. You don't have to say stressed. You don't have to say exhausted. Jesus is inviting us into something different, something that I would pray and hope that all of us could see and experience this morning. So Matthew chapter 11, we're gonna start in verse 28, and we're gonna read three verses. But the first thing I want you to do is this. I want you to look at the first three words. This is Jesus talking, by the way, in Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus is talking, and he says this, "Come to me." All right, that's how he starts it. He says, "Come to me." You guys say that with me. Come to me. Guys, that's an invitation. Right off the bat in this passage, Jesus is inviting us to come to him. Nowhere else, not anyone else, but Jesus is inviting you. He's inviting you and he's inviting me to come to him. Look at this verse. "Come to me, all who labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly," some of your Bibles might say humble, "I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Verse 30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It'll make more sense in a minute when you know what a yoke is. But Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Guys, we've got an invitation. This passage, it shows us, it teaches us how each one of us can find our ultimate rest in Jesus. So we're gonna look at these verses just a little bit slower this morning. But the first thing that we need to see and that we need to notice in this passage is this. Guys, we need to respond to Jesus's invitation. Look at verse 28. It says, "Come to me. Come to me, all who are heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest." Jesus says, "Come to me." Jesus is inviting you. He's inviting you to come to him, to enter into that relationship with him. Guys, you have an invitation, an invitation. And I don't know about you, but I think invitations are good things, right? I enjoy invitations, right? Invitations are fun. Invitations are exciting. A lot of times invitations lead to good things because an invitation means this. An invitation, when you get an invitation to something, no matter what it's to, birthday party, whatever, when you get an invitation, it means that somebody was thinking about you, right? It means somebody was thinking about you. It means somebody likes you, right? It means somebody cared enough about you to say, you know what? I really want that person to be what I have going on. It means I enjoy being around that person, so I'm gonna ask them and invite them to come and do what I'm doing. I enjoy being around that person. I care about that person. I like that person. I respect that person. I want that person to be a part of what's going on. So you might get an invitation to a birthday party. Maybe you get an invitation to a wedding. Maybe you get an invitation, a great invitation to go with somebody to a football game or something like that. It's always good to get those phone calls, right? Or maybe it's something simple, right? Maybe you get a simple invitation to just go and hang out with a friend, to just go to somebody's house. Maybe you got an invitation to come to church with somebody this morning. I don't know. Guys, invitations are good things. Invitations mean someone cares about you, they're thinking about you, and they want you to be a part of what is going on as well. Guys, so invitations are incredible. Invitations lead to great experiences. Invitations lead to fun. Invitations lead to opportunity, but invitations only do that. And invitations only lead to that if you respond to the invitation, right? Here's the birthday party thing. You get an invitation to a birthday party. You don't have fun at the birthday party if you get the invitation and stick it on the refrigerator and never do anything about it, right? You have fun at the birthday party when you get the invitation and you call them and say, I'm going to be there. And then you actually show up, you respond, and you go to what you've been invited to. Guys, that's what's going on in this passage, right? You need to respond to the invitation. You need to say yes to Jesus and begin walking with him. And here's the cool thing. His invitation in this passage wasn't just to the seniors. It wasn't just to the sixth graders. It wasn't just to a select group of people. His invitation in this passage was to each and every one of us, right? His invitation was for middle schoolers. It was for high schoolers. It was for our adults. His invitation was for each and every one of us. Guys, it's not exclusive. It's available for anyone that would respond to him, for anyone who gets to a place in their life where they realize they can't do it on their own, and they need, and we need an invitation. We need to respond to that invitation with Jesus. It was when we get to a place where we realize that the only place we're going to find rest, the only place that we're going to find peace, and the only place we're eventually going to find joy in this life is in that relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me give you some background on this passage, all right? Jesus is talking here to a group of people that have been, you know, burdened for a very, very long time, all right? A group of people that have been stressed out and frustrated for a very, very long time. And they haven't been frustrated by their jobs, and they haven't been frustrated by school or anything like that. Guys, these people are people that have been frustrated by the religious leaders that were there in the city with them, right? Jesus is talking to a group of people that have had expectations placed on them that were impossible for them to fulfill. He was talking to people whose lives have been burdened and frustrated by expectations that were impossible for them to fulfill, right? These religious leaders back then, they took what God had said and then they added to it. They took what God had said and they said, that's great, everything that God's already told us, but now you need to do this. And now you need to do this. And by the way, you can't be good enough unless you do this as well. And so they stacked thing upon thing upon thing on top of these people, and eventually it became impossible for them to live up to it. It became impossible for them to do what people were asking them to do. And the end of the day, this is what was going on here. This is what was going on. The religious leaders were saying, you have to work your way to God. You've got to work your way into a relationship with God. You've got to be good enough. You've got to do enough. You've got to do all these different things. And the people were tired, right? The people were frustrated because we know as believers, we know as people who are in a relationship with Jesus that it's impossible to work your way into a relationship with God. It's impossible to be good enough to get into a relationship with God. It's impossible to do enough, to say enough, to be involved. It's impossible to work your way to God. That's why Jesus is a simple invitation of come to me. Guys, all we have to do is respond and come to Jesus. And in that moment, guys, in that moment, when we respond to Jesus, when we give our hearts to him, when we enter into a relationship with him, guys, in that moment, our sins wipe clean, not because of what we did, not because of the work that we did, but because of what Jesus did when he died on the cross for us. Okay, in that moment, as we've got a relationship with God and we don't have to work towards it. Jesus is talking to a group of people that have been told for years that they had to work towards it. And Jesus is saying, guys, that's not how it is, right? He's saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. That term heavy laden lets us know that these people have been carrying a burden for a very, very long time. It's like a word picture that people back then would have used, that they've got a huge load on their back and they've been on a journey for a long time. And Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you've got that load on your back. It's time to get to the end of the finish line and just drop it. Just drop it. Get it off of your back and enter into this relationship with me. So he's invited them, and guys, he's invited us to get our hearts in that same line with him, to get our minds in that same line with him. So all of us that are stressed, all of us that are overwhelmed, all of us that have these expectations placed on us that we don't feel like we can live up to, guys, Jesus is saying, listen, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll take those away. Come to me and replace those expectations with a relationship with me, okay? It's very, very simple, right? It's very, very simple. We've got an invitation, and we can respond to that invitation that Jesus gives us. So it's simple, but it's not easy. Okay, everybody look up here. It's simple. We have a simple and clear invitation from Jesus, but it's not always easy to do it, right? I read this quote this week, and I love it. It says, our hearts don't naturally rest in all that God has for us in Jesus, so we must, and listen to this, our hearts don't naturally rest in all that God has for us in Jesus, so we must fight against everything that inclines us to rest in anything but Jesus, right? This quote says, we've got to fight against anything that pulls us to rest in anything but Jesus, right? We've got to fight the urge to put our rest in something else. We've got to fight the urge to seek rest or to seek comfort in anything but Jesus. Listen, guys, our hearts, the way that we are, so we so naturally can be pulled and easily swayed towards other things. We've got to fight to keep our focus on Jesus. Guys, money and stuff tempts us to rest in it because of the things and the comfort that it can provide. Sex and relationships, a boyfriend or a girlfriend will tempt us to rest in them because of the way that they can make us feel. Power tempts us to rest in it because of what we can accomplish or what we can do through power that we might think that we have. Guys, athletics, sports, our health, our bodies might seek us to rest or tempt us to rest there because of how other people might look at us or think about us. Guys, there's so many different things fighting and pulling on your heart for your attention each and every day. Guys, we've got to fight the urge and resist the temptation to rest in there, resisting the temptation to run to those things. And not all of those things are bad things, but guys, they become bad things when they take the place that only Jesus can take in our life. Guys, they become bad things when we find our hope in them. They become bad things when our focus is solely on them. They become bad things when they distract our hearts from what Jesus is wanting to do in our life. Guys, there's so many things that might seem good, so many things that might seem like the place that we need to turn, but Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me. Here's how we can do that. A simple action step with that. It's this. Every day, get up and say yes. Let's practice. Say yes. 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 Every day, get up and say yes, not to me, right? Every day, get up and say yes to Jesus. Every day, wake up. And before your feet hit the floor, commit your day to him in prayer. Every day, say, Jesus, yes, I'm going to walk with you today. I'm going to respond to your invitation today. I'm walking with you. My day is yours. My life is yours. Every day, respond to Jesus' invitation and say yes. Other things might look good. Other things might look promising. Other things might look tempting. But in the end, all of those other things will place expectations on you and a burden on you that you just cannot bear. Guys, it's in Jesus that we can find lasting rest. So respond to him. And then here's the second thing, guys, embrace his yoke. All right, embrace his yoke. All right, verse 29, it says this, right? He says, come to me in the first verse. And 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart. And like I said up front, this makes a lot more sense when you know what a yoke is. So I'm going to ask a question, and be careful raising your hand because I might call on you and ask you to come up here and explain it for the rest of us. But if you know what it's talking about in this verse when he says yoke, will you just raise your hand? No more adults than that? Come on, guys. Oh, there we go. Okay, good, good. I was just making sure. All right, so here's the deal. I just wanted to make sure before I spent time explaining it that we actually needed an explanation for it, and it sounds like we do, okay? So we called a store this week. Nancy Cook called a store. A yoke is it's a farming thing, right? So she calls a farming store and says, do you guys have a yoke laying around that we can buy or borrow? And the girl that answered the phone said, what's a yoke? All right? She didn't even know. I was with some friends going this weekend up to a ranch, and I figured, so we're going to a ranch, and there's animals and this kind of stuff. And so I asked them, hey, do y'all know anywhere I could get a yoke? And somebody said, in an egg? And I said, no, not that kind of yoke. That's not what we're talking about here, okay? So here's the deal, guys. A yoke was used by farmers back then, okay? And by the way, in a lot of parts of the world, a yoke is still used by farmers. And what a yoke was is those big, heavy, right? It was not light. It was a big, heavy piece of wood that they would put across the back of two oxen, right? And then they would tie the yoke to the plow and tie it to the oxen, and that's what the farmer would use to pull the plow across his field, right? That's what the farmer would use to get work done or to move things and that kind of stuff. A farmer would use the yoke on the oxen to control the oxen and to have the oxen do the work that he was supposed to be done. And so this is like a metaphor, right? And a lot of teachers back then would use it. So it wasn't uncommon for someone teaching a group of people like Jesus was doing to use that kind of metaphor, right? That people would understand it and they would know what it meant. And so when he says this, when he says, take my yoke upon you, they would get it and they would understand what that meant. When somebody would say to take on the yoke of another person, they were saying, all right, it's time for you to give your life or to be under control or to begin living up to the expectations of that other person. All right, Brennan, can you come here and help me real quick? I'm not going to make you do anything too crazy. So they would use illustrations like this, right? They would take somebody as they were teaching, and then they would say, face the crowd. This is Brennan. Say, hi, Brennan.
Hi.
Okay, so they would take someone like Brennan, right? And they would say, all right, listen, I think it's time. Daniel, I think it's time for you to place yourself under Brennan's yoke, right? For you to come under his leadership. And so as someone would say that or someone would teach that, people would understand and just know that, all right, now it's time for you to submit yourself to Brennan. That now whatever he says, you got to do. Whatever expectations he has for you, you're now supposed to live up to. You're now supposed to do. Does that make sense? So that's what they're saying when two people back then would talk about the yoke. Thanks, buddy. When they were talking about the yoke, when they were saying place, they're not saying like, let's get a piece of wood and attach it to your back and use you out in the field. They're saying now it's time to live up to someone else's expectations, all right? It was a common phrase, and they would have gotten it. And so here's the deal, all right? Guys, Jesus is telling us, he's talking to a group of people that have been carrying, listen, look up here. Jesus is talking to a group of people that have been carrying a burden, that have been carrying expectations that have been placed on them that they could not live up to. They couldn't. It's impossible. Nobody except Jesus himself could live up to the expectations that these people were placed under. And so Jesus is telling these people, and he's telling us, he's saying, listen, if you've been weighed down, or if you've been stressed out, if you've carried this on your shoulders for far too long, guys, replace it. Drop it. Right? Drop the yoke that other people have placed on you. Drop the expectations that other people have placed on you and put mine on. Right, put mine on. Jesus says that his yoke is easy and that his burden is light. So his invitation is to come to him and to not to lose a yoke altogether, but to replace one that we can't carry with one that only he can give us. Does that make sense? He's saying, get rid of these expectations that you can't live up to and replace it with a relationship with me. He's saying, get rid of the junk and replace it with me. Get rid of the exhaustion, get rid of the frustration and replace it with a relationship with me. Guys, replace the expectations of the world. Replace the expectations of your peers. Replace the expectations that you don't want to, nor should you try to live up to, with a relationship with Jesus. Guys, simply put, here's this. Simply put, as we know when Jesus calls him to himself, right? He doesn't have this list for us. He calls us into a relationship with him. And guys, as we enter into a relationship with him, we'll begin doing things to please him, right? Not doing things so that he'll love us, not doing things so that we can be in a relationship with him, but the things that we do are a result of the love that he has put inside us. Does that make sense? It starts with the relationship with Jesus, and then people start seeing that we're living a life to please Jesus. So as we embrace his yoke, guys, here's the action step. It's simply this. It's live to please Jesus. Live to please Jesus, all right? We're not worried about your culture. We're not worried about your school. We're not worried about people that you shouldn't be trying to impress. Anyway, guys, we need to live to please Jesus each and every day. And guys, to do that, we need to do what's next, and that's seek him alone. Seek him alone. It says at the end of verse 29, as we do that, guys, that we will find rest for our souls. So guys, Jesus is calling us into that relationship. He's inviting us in. He's saying, get rid of that yoke, put this yoke on, and seek me. Guys, as we seek Jesus, our souls will find rest. And it's so much more than last day of school, first day of summer kind of rest. Guys, that's not what he's talking about here. He's saying, seek me, and not your body, not your mind. Seek me, and your soul will find rest. He's saying that your soul will experience forgiveness that can come only in him. Your soul can experience peace and joy that can come only through knowing God because of your relationship with Jesus. Guys, that rest there, it's a pardon, it's a release, it's a freeness from the sin that can destroy us, it's a freeness from that sin that will destroy us if Jesus doesn't do anything about it in our life, it's a freeness from the burden and the guilt and the shame that's put on us from that sin. Guys, in Jesus, and in Jesus alone, our souls can find rest from that sin. And again, not because we worked for it, because Jesus invited us into it because of what he did on the cross. Think back to that invitation. All right, think back to the invitation that we talked about at the very beginning. All right, we talked about how we get invitations to birthday parties and to weddings and this kind of stuff. I want you to think in your mind, just real quick, about an invitation. If somebody invited you, or if you got whatever invitation that you could just would be impossible for you to turn down. All right, think about the one invitation you could get that would be impossible for you to turn down. Just think about it. So I grew up in Little League. I picked number 7 because I loved Craig Biggio, right? I loved watching Craig Biggio play baseball. I've watched as many games as I could. I went to as many games as I could in my backyard. I would pretend to be him. So if he called me this afternoon and said, hey, listen, this is the only chance I've got, but I would love for you to come meet me at the ball field. Let's just play catch for the afternoon and hang out. Listen, I'm supposed to do a wedding this afternoon, but I would turn down the wedding, right, and say yes to Craig Biggio and go do it. That's the invitation that I couldn't turn down, right? I would have to respond. I would have to say yes, and I would have to go and do it. So there's certain things that if the opportunity arises, you just got to say yes, and you've got to go and do it, all right? You have in your head the thing that you could not say no to? Turn to the person next to you and just tell them, if this came up, I couldn't say no. Let them know what it is, all right? What's the invitation that you could not turn down? All right, that's good. Look back up here. Look back up here. So here's the deal, all right? We get it. We get it. We're on the same page. We understand each other. We know that certain times in our life, an opportunity comes up that we just can't say no to. Certain times in our life, things happen, and we say yes because of the invitation that we've gotten. And just to be clear, before somebody texts or calls the people I'm doing a wedding for this afternoon, I would find somebody else to cover it. They wouldn't be on their own, all right? I would make sure that they were good to go. But here's the deal, all right? Certain times we get an invitation, we have no choice but to say yes. We'd be crazy not to, right? Certain times we get an invitation and it would be foolish. It would be foolish to not respond and say yes to the invitation that we have gotten. Guys, here's the deal. Jesus has given us an invitation in this passage to respond to him. And as we respond to him, we will find rest, not just rest and a freeness from the stress of this life, but guys, rest and eternal rest for our souls. Guys, we'll have rest for our souls and the peace and the joy that comes with that. But here's the unfortunate thing. So many people that hear this invitation, so many people are invited into this relationship with Jesus, and they don't say yes. Right? So many people get an invitation from the one that created the world, the one that created us, the one that loves us enough to die for us, and they don't respond by saying yes. Right, and then there's other people that respond to the invitation half-heartedly. They say, yeah, that sounds good, and they walk into it, and as they walk into it, they bring along all the stuff that they were doing all along. Right? They bring along the baggage, they bring along the stress, they bring along the expectations that this world's got on them, and they try to balance both. And they try to please Jesus, and they try to please the world. Guys, Jesus is inviting us into something, and he's saying, listen, he's saying, seek me, he's saying, release that old yoke, put on my yoke, live to please me, live to be in a relationship with me. And guys, as you do that, you will find rest. And as we learned up front, guys, we experience it. We feel it. We know there's things that fight for our attention. We know there's things that fight for our devotion, that fight for our love. Guys, we have to fight against those to make sure that we are seeking Jesus alone. Again, it's one of those things that's very simple, but it's not easy. It's a discipline that you need to, that you have to develop in your life. How can you seek Jesus alone? Here's three simple things you can do every day that'll help you seek Jesus alone. The first is this, just pray. Pray, spend time talking to Jesus, right? If you're gonna seek somebody, if you're gonna seek out a relationship with somebody, if you're gonna respond to an invitation to be in a relationship with somebody, at some point you should talk to him, right? I mean, that's what we have modeled in the Bible. Jesus spent time talking to the Father. Jesus teaches us how to pray. Jesus calls us to pray and asks us to pray. So guys, to seek Jesus, we need to spend time in prayer. Guys, second thing is this, is read the Bible, right? Read the Bible. We don't have to guess. We don't have to guess what God wants us to do. We don't have to guess how God wants us to live. We don't have to guess our way through life or guess our way through situations. He's got his word on paper that we can just pick up and read, right? So spend time reading God's word. As you seek God through the reading of your word, of his word, guys, he promises, right? He promises that we'll experience him. He promises us that we'll find him. He promises us that through the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives, that we'll be able to understand his word and to use it as a guide to life. And then the last thing is this, as we seek him, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, guys, we need other people around us that love Jesus and that will help us to walk with Jesus. Guys, we just need to be surrounded by Christians that love us, that care about us, that when things pull in our life and pull us in a different direction, that have enough guts, by the way, that have enough guts and that love you enough to speak truth into your life and to tell you to stop seeking other things that won't lead to life and to start seeking Jesus and Jesus alone. Guys, you need those people in your life that love you enough that are willing to say that. Okay, so listen, guys, don't allow yourself to seek anything but Jesus. Seek him alone. And guys, as we do that, we'll be able to do this last thing, and that's trust that he is enough. Guys, we'll be able to trust that Jesus is enough. Look at verse 30. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our invitation was not to lose a yoke. Our invitation was to replace a yoke, right? Our invitation was to escape the expectations and the burdens of this world, right? And then to submit ourselves and our lives to a relationship with Jesus, right? We're leaving the burdens and the expectations of the world and submitting ourselves to a life to please Jesus. And guys, as we do that, we need to trust that he is enough. We're invited to replace the junk, replace the things that'll wear us out, replace the things that exhaust us, that stress us, that can crush and destroy us with a personal relationship with Jesus. And guys, here's the deal. Thinking about it this week, and I figured I'd share, I think it's a secret to life. I'm not sure. I'm going to call it a secret to life. And if you can get this, if you can grasp it, I think that it will change everything for you. I really do. I really think that this will change everything to you if you can get this and grasp it and understand it, but not just understand it, but guys, actually live it. And it's this. You might want to write it down. I'll say it a few times because it's really long. And I want to make sure you get it. It's this. Jesus is enough. That's it. Guys, Jesus is enough. You don't need anything else. You don't. Jesus is enough. You don't need to do anything else. You don't need to want anything else. You don't need to desire anything else. You don't need to live to please anything else. Guys, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And here's the great thing that we see in this passage. Guys, we don't have to work towards it. Right? We don't have to do anything to make him love us. We don't have to do anything to make him care about us. Guys, he cares about each and every one of you so incredibly much. Guys, he loves us. He desires a relationship with us. He doesn't want us to be exhausted. He doesn't want us to be stressed. He doesn't want us to live a life beneath crushing expectations. He doesn't want to live a life with these expectations on us that we could never fulfill. Guys, Jesus desires, because he loves you, Jesus desires because he loves me. He desires that we would turn our hearts to him, turn our lives to him, seek rest in him, in him alone, and begin to walk with him. And guys, I'm just asking you to do this. I'm asking you to trust that he is enough. I'm asking you to trust that he'll do what he said he's going to do. I'm asking you to trust that he loves you enough to invite you to rest in him. Don't let anyone, look up here, don't let anyone tell you that you need more than Jesus.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.